Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Fridge in your bedroom, don't be a prick.
If I know me. Which I do.
That's the name of your sex tape. Oh my god. Okay, so.
Spirals of evil.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Today we are joined by the fantastic comedian and performer, it's Katie Pritchard.
Yay!
Hey! Hey! Katie, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
We're recording this in what we call the studio, which is also my flat. And she's bought a bottle of Malibu.
Yes, she has.
Of course.
There's some 90s love around this table right now.
This is lovely. Awesome.
This is the first time I've ever had it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, this is so many firsts.
We should be getting money.
First person to bring us Malibu. First time Taylor's tried Malibu. Also, first time we've had two Katies on the podcast, I think.
Ooh.
Because we've had other Hannahs.
We sure have.
But we've never had another Katie.
And can I just point out that the other Hannah we had on, well, one of the other Hannahs, you guys dubbed Cool Hannah.
Right.
I feel like, yeah. I do think about that, if you're asking.
Right.
I do.
Katie Pritchard, if you want to be Cool Katie, that's fine with me.
Those two words never get said together. So I would appreciate the honour, but also I'm aware it's not true. So you could be Cool Katie.
No, these guys won't. I mean, sometimes I'm Sassy Katie, but really it's ironic.
Already, these two Katies are so similar.
All right, you can be Katie 1 or Katie 2, like, every day of my school. Or you could be Katie P, and I could be Katie W, which ruins the speed of that.
No, I'm feeling like Katie P is Cool Katie, so let's go.
Katie P is Cool Katie. Okay. Cool Katie, we have one question.
Okay, I might forget to reply sometimes.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes.
Tell us.
It was when I was younger.
Okay.
It was my 13th birthday. and we got burgled.
Oh, no!
I know. But don't worry, because I'm totally fine. Because whilst we were waiting for the police, we played Cluedo.
Oh,
so
wow!
I had full detective training.
Whoa.
This is so meta.
Oh, wow.
Whilst we were waiting. And then we showed the police that we were playing Cluedo and they let me watch them fingerprint the house. So,
oh, wow. Oh my God.
Very.
I love that your family turned like trauma into an immersive experience.
Yeah.
A true immersive.
Turn that frown upside down.
Life is but a game.
Everything is a learning opportunity.
That's like, it. Now, wow.
This is a very impressive parenting, actually.
Mm. The only issue is that the burglary couldn't be solved by saying it was Mrs. Peacock with a lead pipe. So aside from that, it was really good really good skill building, specifically for something like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's standing you in really good stead to join our force, I can tell you.
And because of my immersive interactive experience, I did come dressed as detective-y as I possibly could.
Nice.
To really embody the role of
I mean, I've got to say, not only the Malibu, which is an obvious thing for a detective to bring to a crime scene.
Absolutely.
Katie has dressed in like, you're in a suit.
She's in a pinstripe blazer. I mean, this is effort.
I feel like I wouldn't be misplaced on the set of Bugsy Malone.
Which is actually what we ask all our guests to do.
And you're the only one who's complied. Yeah, thank you.
Finally.
Thank you for getting the memo.
Detective Bugsy.
Oh, do you know what? I kind of feel like maybe that's what we're missing, is that we should dress like detectives.
But yeah?
I'm seeing myself in a...
Fedora?
Yes,
you were going to say Fedora.
I was going to say Fedora. Nice. Oh my God, I can't believe your detective-ing started so early, so at 30.
I can't believe that's what your family did as you waited for the police. Like, I have lots of questions about your family.
It's kind of a gambit, isn't it? It's like, this will make it worse or better. Let's just roll the dice.
Let's roll the dice. Because what else are we going to do?
There's nothing else in the house. We've only got Cluedo left.
So you can watch TV.
Let's play that.
Yeah.
Oh, what did they take?
Everything, really.
Oh, golly.
But don't worry, because we play Cluedo.
They didn't take that. Fine. No one could take our Cluedo.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
They looked at that, and they were like, got one of these already. I need another.
I've got the deluxe edition.
Yeah, I know
actually.
How that finishes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is 42. That's like busting out Risk during the Blitz.
Yeah.
Like, that is a bold move.
Yeah.
Oh.
Love that. So did they ever catch the burglars?
No. But they did use pink fluorescent fingerprinting
stuff.
It comes in different colours?
Yeah. We were asleep and it's a bit spooky.
Oh, God.
They laid out my mum's trinket pots along their doorway so that if they got up, they'd hear them step on them and go, ow!
Oh, they booby-trapped to get noise alerts.
So the first sign we had was all the booby traps around the house.
Oh, wow.
Was this... I mean, it was...
Because, like, one of your parents got up.
No, they didn't get up.
Oh, just the booby traps fell over?
No, we didn't find out till the morning. And then my parents were like, is Katie pranking us again?
Oh, again.
Oh, not me this time.
You know what she's like? She's become a teenager and she just thinks this is the last time I'm going to be able to do a good childhood prank.
I think I get away with it on my birthday.
Yes.
It wasn't me.
Sorry, God. What did you call them? Trinket
pots.
Like noisy pots.
So they're like little chinery porcelain things where you'd put maybe your rings and stuff. They're kind of collector's items.
Okay.
And would be really painful on the foot.
Yeah, because they're like pointy top.
Ooh.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I'd just had my birthday, so I'd just been given a like boombox radio. So I was listening to that all night, so no one came in my room.
All night?
Yeah.
What
left it on? Like,
what if I turned this off? You know, it's the first day, you've got to listen to it.
What were you blasting out? What were we talking?
I reckon, if I know me, which I do.
That's lucky.
I reckon at that age, it was probably Capital FM or Kiss
FM.
Okay, nice. What,
Some
nice bedtime beats.
So did they take anything of yours at all?
Not in my room.
But anything of yours in the house? Did you lose anything to this?
I'm not... All my stuff has got to be in my room.
Right,
that's the rules.
Oh, right.
So I was fine.
Actually, yeah.
Don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
It was lucky. Also in my room, the fridge freezer. So that was also That stayed too.
Why not? Like the full family fridge free, like the ham is in my there.
Room, yeah, I was very trustworthy kids.
What was the kitchen situation?
Well, just at the time, that was the best place for it.
I mean, I guess it's the best thing I've ever heard. That's amazing. Where are we going to pop this? I think we'll put it in Katie's room, won't we?
She's got that corner.
Yeah.
And the outlet.
They wouldn't let me have cutlery in my room, but the fridge freezer.
Oh man, so you can't eat the ice cream, you can just lick it.
Yeah, or stare at it. Frosted plastic.
I've got a complicated relationship with food, as it is. But if I had grown up with the fridge in my room,
yeah.
Oh boy.
Wow.
No wonder you needed a boombox, otherwise you'd hear...
Yeah, well, this is it. You're questioning what, if I needed it all night, but I was used to that. That was spot on, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss it.
I know my fridge freezer, so if there's one thing I know.
I can't believe this is probably the most elaborate, like robbery that we've had, like with the trinkets.
I've never heard of such a thing, yeah.
No smashed windows either.
Have they?
What?
What's your suspicion?
How?
A weak lock. Is the official police diagnosis on the day.
Okay.
If I check my case,
you do know your lingo, yeah.
Do you know what? It wasn't weak, and it just been strong.
Strong
for too long.
There we go. Those windows got changed quick as a flash.
Oh,
wow. Man, we have one question on this. Well, we have two questions. And the second one is, what would you say to the perpetrators now?
I'd say, guys, you didn't need everything.
No.
Could have just had a hug from me.
Oh, God. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
So they took, like, the telly, I'm assuming?
Yeah, the laptop. My dad was supposed to go for work to Hong Kong, took all the flight tickets and his passport.
No.
We were like, well, we hope they look like my dad, otherwise then we can't use those.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Imagine taking all that. Yeah, and then sort of having to do some business in Hong Kong.
I'm just imagining them getting fully into the role.
Yep. I don't know anything about sustainable leadership, but... oh, my God.
I love the idea that they had to do the full itinerary.
Just like synergy, I guess.
Oh, my God. I'm at the Hyatt? Okay.
Why would I book this?
This isn't me. Wait, yes. Yes, it is.
It could be me. It could be me. See if then maybe this will be my life now. Or if they just resold it on the black market or whatever.
Oh, I love the black market.
I don't know that you can sell a business trip.
No, you can smell
passports.
Yeah. Everyone wants to smell passports.
Presumably they'd be caught the second that they get to Hong Kong airport. Someone's standing with a sign and they're like, that's me.
Yeah.
I've got to turn myself in.
Your dad's like, I'm still waiting for my new passport.
Wow.
It depends how far these people took their investment in
it does.
The stuff they stole.
Yeah.
And can I ask, did you have any plans for your 13th birthday? Was there some ice skating you missed?
Well, the birthday was the day of the burglary. So I'd done the birthday.
You'd done it, mate.
I'd done it. You're
dead to the world. You'd had a great day.
Yeah.
I'd had a fantastic day. I tucked all the ice cream neatly back into its freezer.
Next to your head.
I switched my radio on.
Nice.
I slept with my hand on the drawer with all my little pocket money.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was safe.
I love how anxious you were that this was going to happen.
But that's why people thought it was an inside job, but it really wasn't.
Oh, because you were so fine.
I was absolutely fine.
Oh, yikes. Interesting. And when you said...
And look at me now, absolutely fine.
Yeah. You don't seem remotely traumatised.
No.
Very suspicious.
But when you say people thought,
yeah.
Is that mum and dad?
Throughout the Cluedo, it transpired.
Oh, no.
We were being grilled as well.
Oh, my God. They put you in an inescapable situation.
Where would we have hidden this, guys? I've got a fridge freezer in my room. There's no space for all this stuff.
Wow.
My room's packed.
So you had siblings. How old were your siblings?
My sister would have been about 10-ish.
Okay.
Oh, I think it was her. Does she talk about going to Hong Kong a lot?
I wondered where she went for 2 weeks. She does look like my dad.
Like, how could children
be in on it. Like, what? Like, some other 13-year-olds doing this? Who could you possibly have met?
You've got to check all of the possible suspects.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a good detective.
Yeah.
And
that's what I learned that day.
Respect to your parents.
No one is above suspicion. And Cluedo can be a force for good and evil. No. That's not the... I mean, is that... All right. But yeah, I am going to... I'm going to end the section on that.
Wow.
With Cluedo. Thank you for sharing that. That was great. Terrible, but great.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
All right, I'm going to bring us along to the true crime. Whenever we say we're going to do the true crime portion of the podcast, it always makes me think as if we're calling the guest a liar.
Yes!
None of that was true.
I have felt that for years. Like, are you ready for some true crime?
Yeah, a fridge in your bedroom, don't be a prick.
That bullshit.
Imagine making that up, though. That's
I know, it's elaborate. It's elaborate.
All right, now, the perpetrator that we're going to be talking about terrorised the people of Sheffield.
Ooh.
Oh, boo. No.
Wait, Sheffield?
No, the person.
The person, okay. Yeah.
Where are you? You're not from Sheffield.
I'm from London.
Okay, fine. Not that we're going to slag off Sheffield.
Yeah, no, I'm booing Sheffield. Fuck those guys.
And he was said to have fallen down a spiral of evil.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a staircase. Yeah. Okay.
But
that's easier to
that
see.
That is also Sheffield's hottest nightclub. And now I'm done taking the piss out of Sheffield.
Okay.
Like, that's not...
I love Sheffield.
I like Sheffield.
Yeah, Sheffield's fine.
Sheffield's the Pittsburgh of the UK. I got nothing wrong with
that. They're still people, right?
They're still people. Yeah, they're my people.
Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about Charlie Peace. He was born in Sheffield, his dad was a shoemaker, and his mum was a naval surgeon's daughter. Doesn't have her own identity, because women aren't people. Question, what era are we in?
Ooh.
Naval surgeon's daughter.
And shoemakers.
And Sheffield, like, and as Sheffield, we know, no longer exists. So.
Spirals of evil.
Spirals of evil. Why do we all whisper that?
This feels like 17th century. I'm going to go, I'm going to say 1658.
I think it's a bit later than Taylor suggests. I think we're talking maybe a kind of... I'm going to go 1900.
Breaking with tradition.
Nice round number.
They had shoes then.
Detective Bugsy / Cool KTP, what do you think?
Well, we've got some navels.
Yes.
And shoes.
Yes.
Which gives us quite a specific timeline, I'd say. And based on that information... and my extensive knowledge of people who work in the Navy and shoes, I'm going to go with 1783.
Oh, please let that be correct, because that'd be amazing.
Then you guys, good. And wins. That is the closest.
Oh!
It is 1832.
Oh, boy.
Which is closer than anybody else.
The things the other way round, it's... not the same.
You're only like 30, 40 years off. And the others were hundreds of years off. Right, now, we are in May. He's a summer baby. He's the youngest son living in Sheffield. Now, Charlie Peace.
Wait, he's
sorry.
What just happened? Youngest son. The youngest son ever?
No one will ever be younger. He was the youngest son of this family.
May is spring! What's happening? I'm so confused.
It's on the cuff. You're right, it's technically spring.
That's what I'm angry about.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back.
All right. Okay. Now, he has an almost comic book villain origin story. So first question, what significant event happened to Charlie, when he was 14?
Ooh. His parents were killed.
Playing Cluedo.
Wow, okay.
All right, just went right to, Batman.
Yeah.
Using my extensive knowledge. 1832.
I love how methodical the new detective is.
For every answer like that, please.
And things that could potentially be origin stories for the youngest sons. Mm-hmm. I would have to say he's... slid in a cow pat.
Ooh.
And the cow headbutted him.
Okay.
And he fell down into the ground into a hidden trap.
Do you know what? You are the closest. You're not correct, but you are the closest.
injured.
Okay.
Yes. But nailing this.
He was permanently... she's using her extensive knowledge. He was permanently crippled in an accident at a steel rolling mill in 1846.
Oh, shit.
The mill was owned by Bruce Wayne Industries. No. But one source said he had a medical condition that made him look older than he was. I don't know if that's in addition to his injury, but amongst other things, he lost a finger.
Okay.
It's like the medical condition that makes you look older than you are, like being alive in the 19th century.
Life was hard.
I feel like everybody looked fucking old. Like,
yeah.
So he lost a finger.
He lost a finger and, I mean, obviously crippled is not a term that we use now. And I don't have any extra information about what that means in this.
Okay.
But that's from source, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 1854 is the first time that he's found guilty of a crime, age 22. Question, what crime is it?
Ooh. Well, if I lost a finger, I'd take a finger.
Ooh. Okay.
So we're in Sheffield in... 1854. What those kind of crimes? I think he's probably done a mugging, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Due to my extensive knowledge of 1854 and starter crimes, I think it's some kind of fraud that he's doing here. A little switchy with the money. It's going into him.
Okay.
A scam. Ooh. Original scam.
All right, scams. Love it.
Oh, I like scam.
I said took a finger.
Oh, took a finger.
Yeah.
Scams.
What was the crime? Took a
and
finger.
And mugging.
Mugging.
Okay, the correct answer is multiple burglaries.
Oh.
So you're all kind of on it. He is sentenced to 4 years penal servitude, which is the name of your sex tape. and he gets out in 1859. He marries a widow called Hannah Ward.
Oh.
Our first Hannah of the case.
Very nice. Hello, Hannah. If you're listening.
They have a son together, but he's not done with the crimes. So soon after getting married, he commits a major burglary in Manchester. And in doing so, he nearly killed someone. Question, who did he nearly kill?
Oh.
It feels like if we're talking about it now, it feels like it had to be somebody rich.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, like, someone that played for Manchester United. My timelines are a bit off.
Footballer's mansion, sure.
I'm thinking it's a celebrity sports star.
Okay, celebrity sports star. Love it.
That was going to be my joke, so I will defer to one with the extensive knowledge of Manchester.
And Sheffield.
And me, to my extensive knowledge.
This is the best running gag ever.
Literally, you're the first, like, yes, I love it, that's given themselves a catchphrase immediately, and I absolutely fucking love it.
I really love it.
I just can't, I'm obsessed with it.
My extensive knowledge of going from burglary to major burglary, I'm going to go with Hannah Ward's parents.
Ooh!
High drama.
Got really
love
excited
it.
By that theory.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, shall I?
No, I think she's right.
Okay. I'm afraid to tell you that none of you are right.
Oh,
no.
It wasn't my question.
They were fantastic answers. Mayor? It was a police officer who came to arrest him.
Oh, didn't kill anyone. Kill Hannah Ward's parents. Don't kill a police officer.
No. So this time he gets 6 years penal servitude. Name of your second sex tape. He gets out again. Now, for a while after this, he just decides to focus on a legitimate business that he sets up. Question, what is the legitimate business?
Aww.
Does he start a podcast?
Love it. Podcast.
Okay, turn of the century.
Also, like, can I be the first to say that 6 years doesn't feel like long enough for killing a police officer?
No, he nearly killed him.
Oh, in which case 3 years is fine.
Due to my extensive knowledge, what you can learn in 6 years to set up your own new business, you could know quite a lot. I'm gonna go with something in accounting.
Nice. Do you know what? That's such a good point as well, thinking that he's been in jail for the last 6 years and he's got 6 years to think about a business.
Yeah.
And like that's an interesting point. It's like what's the gap in the market he has seen in prison?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it stationary?
I love it.
Or
I love it.
Like penal servitude merch.
Yeah.
For other people that keep hitting the
fun hats.
The PS.
Yes, I went to prison and all my family got was this horrible
terrible
death sentence.
Debt. Yeah. And food insecurity.
nobody is correct. The legitimate business he set up was picture framing.
Framing. That's so classic. You that is a classic one.
Fence him in with any stereotypes. Not that you did. You had very exciting answers. Now,
good for him.
I don't know if the picture framing business dried up or he got bored, but eventually he gives this up and he starts another job working for the North Eastern Railway, but he gets sacked for absenteeism. Don't worry, things are about to get a bit more spicy.
Thank goodness. I mean, I thought if picture framing is really the...
I was actually really engaged with that. It's like, what went wrong?
I know, I think it's all right.
What were people framing back then?
You don't get a reputation for falling in a spiral of email.
Email!
Wow.
Oh my God.
I genuinely haven't had that much to drink.
A spiral of email. That motherfucker did reply all.
That's Freudian. So bogged down in admin. It never ends. I think I'm just a bit messed up. I mean, it's alcohol. Woo, we're so fun. But look, you don't get a spiral of evil. Thank you. Reputation for absenteeism. That would be a bland true crime podcast, and we may not be vindaloo, but we've got turmeric and paprika.
So. I forgot about the fact that he was evil as well. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's coming.
I was actually starting to feel like really rooting for him and his new business prospects.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna regret that.
You know what? It's not black and white. It is definitely much nearer to one of those things. but it's interesting that you would say that.
What's he got? I hope he gets framed. I love that everybody goes all the fawns here and you do a pun.
You gotta do that.
Yay!
That's the rule. Okay, so he moves back to a suburb of Sheffield called Darnell and he makes the acquaintance of a civil engineer called Arthur Dyson.
Oh.
Spoiler.
Dyson! Shut up.
It's not that Dyson.
No. Oh! I was hoping it was a relative.
I mean, it might be, but things do not turn out well for this Dyson guy.
Okay.
But that's a spoiler. Got to slow feed you the evil to get past the picture framing. Anyway, August 1876.
No one needs to blow their hair dry faster.
Charlie Peace goes off to do robbing in Manchester, but he is seen by two policemen entering a house at midnight at Welly Range. They intercept him as he is leaving. Peace has a revolver and he waves it around, telling the coppers to get back. Question, what happens next?
Drunk women solving crime.
Hello, this is Bitch Ridley. Welcome to Robot Super Bowl 817, live from Greta Thunberg Stadium on Mars. It's nearly time for the robots to kick off, and the virtual fans are all very excited, as I'm sure you are from your home pods. This year we see reigning champions, the Venus Flytraps, play the team whose ascent to the finals shocked the universe. It's the Earthlings! This year's Super Bowl is sponsored by Pop-Tarts, the breakfast tart which never goes off. Right, and we're off. Flytraps take early possession at the 700-yard barrier, and it's Naomi Scher showing her chops as she levitates towards Katie Jones. Oh, but a teleportation pass sees Angela McGarrigle of the Earthlings turn a surprise slam rock, and she goes for the hovercraft. She's hovering, and it's Alice Devlin at the helm. She's flying the vehicle. It's nearing the laser beams. Touchdown! We're off to a great start here. It's almost as good as humans. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, check out patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chaz, I feel like he shoots both those police officers, doesn't he?
Yeah, excellent answer. Any advance from our other detectives?
Due to my extensive knowledge about what Charlie Peace might do in this situation. does he... I mean, that sounded like a positive reaction to shooting them.
Yeah.
Maybe he then puts them in the house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if it's a spiral of evil, how evil are we going to go? Like, does he kidnap them? Does he take them in to torture them, perhaps?
Interesting. None of you are correct. Well, none of you are exactly correct. Basically, they continue trying to arrest him, so he fires wide, trying not to hit them, but to scare them off. But one of them gets out a truncheon. This is not a euphemism. And he fires again and seriously ruins the guy with the truncheon. Now, look, this cop's name, he's genuinely called PC Nicholas Cock.
Okay.
His surname is Cock, but comedy won't save him. He dies of his injuries the next day.
No!
Yeah, Peace escapes. But two brothers arrested for the crime, John and William Habron, they live nearby. They get charged with the killing of Constable Cock, not a euphemism, and Constable Cock and his massive truncheon are dead, and there's nothing funny about that. Although it is the name of your sex tape. So, in court, John gets acquitted for lack of evidence, but the other brother, William, is sentenced to death, and although the sentence does actually get turned into penal servitude for life, that's the name of your sex tape. Oh my God. Okay, so... Peace made a point of attending the trial. Question, why?
He had a new suit that he wanted to show off.
Nice.
Due to my sense of knowledge, I feel like a lot of criminals do that, based on my knowledge. They like to see how clever they've been.
Yes.
But I do also wonder, did he go to do some evidence as a witness?
Despite the fact he was the guy.
Imagine that.
I'm thinking, and I always think in terms of musicals, there's the bit in Les Mis where Jean Valjean goes, because there's a guy that looks just like him who gets, he's accused of his crimes. And he's like, who am I? Can I condemn this man to slavery? And I will do the whole song, but does he... does he turn up because he's thinking, I can't let this man go down for me, I'm going to be a good guy? Because that's what Jean Valjean did.
Yeah.
24601.
Okay, interesting. Hold that thought, because we're going to circle back to this at a later point.
Oh my gosh,
but that's nearest is Detective Bugsy, because...
back on track!
he went to confirm he wasn't a suspect. So it's kind of, you know, checking how clever he is. He wanted to go and just check that he wasn't in the frame. And they were like, oh, great, those guys are going down.
Sorry, I thought you meant they called people in to come in and
He wasn't asked to give evidence. But it was the first thing you said, not the second thing you said. Okay, so he goes off home to the Sheffield suburbs. Now, in the meantime, Peace has developed an obsessive interest in his civil engineer friend Dyson's wife.
Mrs. Dyson.
Yes. Now, history does not record... Well, it sort of records a little bit of whether she returned his feelings. But it doesn't matter because women are not people. Now, we have some escalation. So in June 1876, Dyson threw a card into the garden of Peace's house. Question, what did the card say?
Jack of clubs.
Okay, Jack of clubs.
Is it a handwritten card?
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh.
24601. That's for anyone that likes Les Mis.
the people that get that are loving it.
Dyson threw a card into Charlie's yard.
Yes.
Not a euphemism.
Not a euphemism.
Okay. Stay away from my wife.
Love it. Any advance on that from you guys?
How much do you charge for framing a picture of a family? of my family? Fuck, stay away from my family.
Love it. Cool Katie.
Due to my extensive knowledge of things that could be handwritten onto cards, which is pretty much anything, I'd love it, personally, if Dyson did a little riddle on there.
Ooh, that's very arch-villain, actually, yeah.
I like that.
Try and make him come to his senses.
That's excellent. It is not correct. Taylor gets it.
Oh.
The card said, Charles Peace is requested not to interfere with my family.
Oh, that is stern.
It is stern. And Moon Pig are missing a trick. Why don't they branch into stalkers?
I love that you can just throw a card into someone's garden.
I love that that also sounds like a very polite invite. Is requested to fuck off.
Yeah. It is. Now, on the 1st of July, Peace responds, question, how?
Oh, don't be another card. They're better than this. No, it's no.
Due to my extensive knowledge of criminals perpetrating the same crimes.
Yes.
Okay. Did he go and do a major break-in at Dyson's house?
Ooh.
Poke him in the eye and steal his wife?
Okay, love it.
Is that what he burgled?
Interesting.
I think he sent a card that said, your wife's vagina is requested in my house.
Yes. He did, like, he went full bro, back. Wow. Okay. He responds by, he approaches Mrs. Dyson, he threatens to blow her brains out.
Wow.
And her husband. This is fair enough. Why should he have to change his behaviour just because people are feeling uncomfortable? What a bunch of snowflakes. Now, we have more escalation. Dyson takes out a summons against Peace and he moves house to a different suburb of Sheffield, to Banner Cross. Question, what happens on their first day in the new house?
Oh no. It's a spiral of evil, isn't it?
It is a spiral of evil.
It's another card.
I feel like he's escalated from the cards.
Okay.
I feel like he's left a voice note on a gramophone. I don't know much about the technology.
Sorry, I hate voice notes, but I'm going to leave this anyway because I'm driving.
I feel like he's got a history of breaking in, hasn't he?
He does.
So I reckon he breaks into the house and he does something awful.
Okay.
Evil, in fact. I think he murders him.
Okay.
I'm going that far.
Okay.
Excellent.
I think he sets it alight and they both die.
Ooh, okay. Cool, Katie.
And he sends a card.
I mean, I do not have extensive knowledge of this.
She's mixing it up.
Okay.
Keeping it.
We found our weak spot.
Moving house. He might be scouting out the new area.
Mm-hmm.
Did he break into the type of place where he worked at, where he was a child and he got his injury to thwart everyone?
How does he thwart everyone?
By breaking in and taking the stuff.
Taking his finger back.
The stuff that they make there.
Right, okay. So you think he goes back to where he originally lost his finger?
Which was a steel roller. What if he puts them in the steel roller?
Okay.
That feels evil.
That's evil.
Okay, you guys are brilliant. That's you are email. Creative. These are excellent answers. Hannah is the closest.
Yes, I knew it. What did I say?
That he kills. So basically, right, Mrs. Dyson is accosted by Peace, who says, you see, I am here to annoy you, and I'll annoy you wherever you go.
Oh, I'm going off him, actually.
Yeah. He's got a downfire.
I'm going to hang in there.
Don't judge him yet.
A man in love.
He's so in love. And then at 8 p.m, he's watching as she goes from her back door into a little outhouse. When she comes back out, he confronts her with a revolver, shouting, speak or I'll fire. She goes back into the outhouse. Husband Dyson comes out to investigate. Peace fled down the passage. Dyson followed him. Peace fired twice at Dyson, because he's being chased.
Sure.
The second shot hits fatally through the temple.
Oh my god.
Mrs. Shame. Dyson shouts murder. Peace escapes and gets a train to Hull.
Sure. That's the first thing I'd do.
And then his wife, because remember he married a widow, she runs an eating house in Hull at this time, which I guess is a restaurant.
or a brothel, am I right?
but do they serve food?
But so this time the people of Sheffield have had enough. So there is a price on his head of £100. And today that is the equivalent of lots.
The best research podcast in the world, I think.
Oh, yeah. And the police descriptions kept having to be altered because Peace was changing his appearance. Question, how was he changing his appearance?
Oh. Was he working out?
Yeah. So buff.
Changing his appearance. I mean, I'm just picturing various forms of facial hair, just like the half sideburn.
Okay.
The bottom lip.
Yeah. The hipster moustache.
Yeah. I'm mostly gesticulating, which does not work for the
podcast.
I'm upside down handlebar.
I'm seeing a lot of facial hair. Although perhaps he, we don't know a lot about him physically, but perhaps he pretended to be a woman. That's sometimes what people
Interesting.
Do.
Interesting,
out of trouble.
I love Charlie as a woman's name, just for the record.
Yeah.
Charlie's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Due to my extensive knowledge of tricking people with appearances.
Okay.
I'd say he had a bit of creative fun in the wig and hat shop.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you are all a little bit right. He did do some of those things, but the main thing he did was he had prosthetic arm to conceal his missing finger.
I feel like you just need a prosthetic finger.
Yeah, that feels like overkill.
Sweet.
I'm not in charge of what he did.
Because then then you have to hide your whole arm and start over.
Yeah.
But Charlie, look, we're not here to question your choices.
No. I mean, we are in a way.
We are.
But yeah. So he kept moving around. So this is, he's properly on the run for a bit. He kept moving around the country to avoid detection. Gets himself a new mistress in Nottingham, a Mrs. Sue Thompson. In 1877, they moved to London. And Peace eventually feels safe from arrest there. And he feels so safe, he does something. Question, what?
Does he marry Sue?
Love it. Okay.
I just, you know, I know he's shot a man and he's scared a woman just after she's had a dump. But that's that is what happened, right? Okay, good. But I feel like he maybe deserves love. He maybe needs love. And I think if he got married, that would be cute.
Okay, so I think it could all turn around for him.
Yeah, it's the Malibu. I'm kind of like, I'm going back to my teenage thing where I'm like, oh my God, do they get together? Yeah. They love each other.
So hot.
I think he reopens the frame shop. Okay. I think he goes back to his roots.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Detective Bugsy.
It's tricky, isn't it?
It is tricky.
Because he's on a spiral of evil.
This is yes. true. These guys are not accounting for the spiral of evil.
And so due to my extensive knowledge of spirals of evil, they just tend to keep going and going. So
yeah.
Has he... He's killed Dyson.
Yeah. But
does he go back for the wife?
Interesting.
Oh golly.
Detective Bugsy is unhinged. This is crazy.
I'm just thinking that's the only witness.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true.
Okay. He sends for his wife and son, Willie, to join him in Peckham. But he's with his mistress, Sue Thompson. So I genuinely don't... You have such a brilliant memory. I'm so impressed with this new detective. I don't know if they're like sister wives now or what's going on, but they're all there and he continues robbing.
Really? I mean, yeah. They're all...
Hasn't he invested by now? I just feel like...
No, I mean, also, like, so some of the stuff I read about him was like, yeah, he just couldn't get normal good jobs because of all the stuff that happened to him, but it's like, couldn't he?
He had that frame job.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess that dried up. I don't know. Anyway, he loved...
People are always going to have walls, you know?
I bet he made wonky frames.
Man,
I'm going to call it. He didn't know what straight lines were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe he just couldn't network.
Yeah, like,
what could be the reason?
Framing networking.
Yeah.
Like, so
you need pictures, asshole. Oh no, I did it again. So he loves the affluent suburb of Blackheath, where there is suddenly a load of burglaries.
It is nice. I did used to live there, and it was
nice.
Okay. Yeah, I can vouch. That.
Oh God.
So you have actual extensive knowledge.
Underground knowledge of Blackheath.
Of Blackheath.
Perfect. Yeah. This is why we brought you in for this case. Now the net is starting to close in. Someone shops him to the feds and betrays his whereabouts for the £100. Question, who?
The feds.
It's not the feds, I apologise. It's like just that. Fun to say that.
It made me understand.
Due to my extensive knowledge of Blackheath.
Yeah.
And jilted women.
Yes.
Potentially his wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
it's Sue.
Yeah. Like, that was an excellent face that you pulled out. What the fuck?
Yeah, sorry, I should have described that. You did it really well.
Who is this bitch?
Who's this prick?
Yeah, it feels like if your husband is like, what? Yeah. Who's that?
Yeah,
that's my son and my wife. What, you what? Like, you would be fuming. So I think I agree. I think it's got to be Sue Johnson.
Oh, that's an actress. Sue Thompson. Detective Bugsy said wife. Are you going mistress?
Oh, is Sue the mistress?
Sue is the mistress. Mm-hmm. Sue Thompson is the mistress.
And Tom Sustress is the wife.
The wife is Hannah Ward, I think.
I think
it's Hannah Ward.
So you think it's the wife? Uh-huh. Do you think it's the mistress?
I think it's the mistress.
All right. Who do you think?
Tom Sustress.
Tom Sustress.
Yeah.
So you've got everything covered.
Yeah.
Because that's nonsense. It is the mistress.
Oh,
it is Sue Thompson.
Waitress.
I knew a Hannah wouldn't do it. Bloody knew it, didn't
she
I?
She didn't want to be sister wives anymore. Now, question, does she get the £100?
No, because she's a woman.
I was going to say, for women, it's 50%. Sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like there's... Oh, that's the thing with, like, rewards for dobbing someone in. I always feel like there's a way... I've never heard of a... I mean, I don't know anyone that's dobbed anyone in, but, like, I've never heard of a single person going like, oh, my God, where'd you get that new car? I've just got someone up.
Dobbing, yeah.
Yeah, just did some dobbing. Got myself a Citroën Picasso.
Yeah. So you think loopholes and...
Yeah, I just don't think that they would be that arsed. I mean, he only killed Steve Dyson, right?
And the policeman. Well, they don't know he killed the policeman yet.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah. Okay. And but it's tons and tons of burglaries, and he's unrepentant. Good instincts. She did not get the £100.
Yeah.
The police denied her the reward on the grounds that her evidence did not lead directly to Peace's conviction. You've got to read the small print. To be fair to the police, Mrs. Thompson is not the reason he gets caught. Question. How does he get caught?
I bet he brags down the pub.
Bragging?
Nice. I think, like, caught red-handed. I think he's caught in the middle of the next crime that he does.
Okay.
And they're like, who are you? And he's like, I confess.
Okay.
I'm on a spiral of email and I can't stop
it. Due to my extensive knowledge of angry men, I reckon... He's not happy with Sue.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I think something happens there.
Okay.
So, but then she would lead directly to his arrest.
Right,
so,
yeah. Oh, that's
oh,
a...
no, it's too much. Yeah, too yeah, many. Yeah. So maybe not
Hannah, maybe? I mean, it doesn't feel right for Hannah.
Hannah's
but...
been fine this whole time.
She's yeah. had a great time.
All right. He gets caught robbing. So... So on the 10th of October 1878, about 2 a.m. a Constable Robinson a right old chum. Constable Robinson at least it's not a penis name. He saw a light appear suddenly in a window at the back of a house in St. John's Park. He and two colleagues go and ring the bell. Peace tries to escape through the garden and fired shots at Robinson. This is like his MO. Robinson manages to grab and hold him despite a fifth bullet passing through his arm.
Ooh!
Yes.
Wow.
So, Peace is captured. He gets charged for crimes, all of this stuff. Now, he's, like, when he moved to London, he had a pen name. He was, like, John Ward. So he's done sort of identities and stuff. So it's taken them a little while to cobble everything together about what he's exactly done.
All those wigs.
All the wigs. They're all catching up with him. So he gets charged for burglary and attempted murder of P.C. Robinson. And for that, he gets penal servitude for life.
Oh, wow. He loves it.
Sex tape trilogy complete. But then the Pentonville prison where he's serving his sentence, because they work out who he is or something happens, he gets taken to Sheffield and charged with the murder of Dyson. Because, like, they're putting stuff together.
Oh, boy.
So there's this whole bit where he, like, there's this other trial and then he's on the train and he jumps from the train to try and avoid doing it. But he is found unconscious.
Yes.
And so the trial gets adjourned, but then he has to still do it. He's declared fit for trial.
For 1 second, I thought that was like he was found unconscious. Like that was the jury's verdict.
Yeah.
You've been found unconscious.
He just jumped from a train.
Jumped from the train.
But then we have the actual trial of the murder of Dyson. Peace's solicitor, William Clegg, is obviously trying to defend him. Question, what does he say to try and make Peace look innocent?
I guess that Dyson was attacking him, so it's self-defense.
Yes, that is one of the things he says. Anything else?
It doesn't come back to his injuries.
Interesting.
Because it depends on which finger. Is it a trigger finger?
Right. That is an excellent answer.
Hello.
It is not correct. I'm sorry. He says that he was on more intimate terms with Peace, with Dyson's wife than she is willing to admit. And then there's this whole she said thing. Oh, also they had this whole thing where they had notes found by the scene of the murder that were supposedly written by Mrs. Dyson, but the husband had already seen them, and they were, you know, forgeries trying to make it look like.
Mm.
So there's this, all this stuff, but obviously women aren't people, so everyone's like, well, we don't want to believe her. And then she denies the affair, but she admits that they had sometimes been seen together and that her husband didn't like them hanging out. The press are sensational about all this as the trial's going on in 1879. But some other people saw Peace in the area at the time of the murder, so it's not just completely her word against his. And then, okay, question. Does the bullet from Dyson match the revolver? So the bullet that killed Dyson, does it match the revolver that Peace has as his revolver?
I feel like he can have more than one revolver.
Okay.
So I think it doesn't, and that's what causes the disarray. That's what causes the thing to go, what?
Okay,
it's not
so
him.
It doesn't match.
But he
okay.
could have just had a different revolver, right?
Yeah, okay.
Ooh. Yeah, square bullet, round revolver.
Okay, so it doesn't match from you.
Due to my extensive knowledge of burglars, I'd say, wouldn't it be ridiculous if Dyson's bullet was from Dyson's gun that he tried to steal? And it matched his gun.
Oh, okay. Rather than Peace, it's Dyson in terms of a gun.
Ooh, right.
Killed by his own vacuum.
These are all very interesting twists, and the correct answer is the bullet does match.
Oh, okay.
Question, does Peace go down for Dyson's murder?
Yeah.
Is it a yes?
Yes. I'm going to go.
Don't
want
to sway you. It is a yes.
And that is group thinking action.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mob mentality. But yeah, it takes 10 minutes for the jury to decide that he's guilty.
Oh, wow.
And they ask Peace if he has anything to say, and he says it's no use my saying anything. He's sentenced to death. There is a final twist. Peace makes a full confession of the murder of Constable Cock that happened a while ago, which exonerates William Habron, who was given...
the only surviving brother.
The only... No, because one of them got off, and then the other one was death but got commuted to penal servitude for life. So he gets a free pardon and £800 compensation.
Nice.
That is good, actually.
Yeah. So
I mean, it would be better if he didn't go to prison. But that sounds like a lot. £100.
A lot of money. £800.
Which today is loads.
It's even more than lots.
It's
right?
Lots and lots.
So Peace insists that Mrs. Dyson had been his mistress. She strenuously denies it, calling him a demon beyond the power of even a Shakespeare to paint. Who persecuted her with his attentions, and when rejected, devoted all of his malignant energies to making the lives of her and her husband unbearable. He insists that he was a slighted lover and been treated by Mrs. Dyson with ingratitude.
Boy, people just don't express themselves as well today.
He was a dick.
Like, no one would speak like that.
I know.
What a shame.
And then, so he's all this, like, not talking, but then on the day before his execution, he was visited for the last time by his family. He did not ask to see Mrs. Thompson, though apparently he had wanted to, and he seemed in good spirits. He knelt with them and prayed for half an hour, and then he blessed each one. So he says goodbye to his wife and his son, and one source said he gave way to tears as they left his presence, which just reminds me of that tweet you did about Britain with the, like,
when the Queen died, like, all the tweets were like, they could not stop the, I forget, yeah. They could not restrain themselves from,
like,
tears.
As long as you tried.
As though, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Show your work.
So on the morning of his execution, he ate a hearty breakfast of eggs and salty bacon.
Oh, sure. I mean, I would.
And then
sourdough? Are we talking?
Yeah.
Smashed Avo?
Yeah. But he did, there was this whole thing with the chaplain.
I love that, the last meal. If, like, my last meal on death row, I'd be like, can it be breakfast?
They'd be thrilled. That's the easiest meal of the day.
Yeah.
And that's my sex tape.
He's buried in Armley Jail. He was 46 years old. I guess let's raise a glass
to
vacuums?
Yeah.
Yay!
Cheers, guys.
Let's raise a glass to extensive knowledge.
Yeah!
Yeah. Detective Bugsy.
Drunk women solving crime.
I've got a listener crime here from Alex.
Okay.
They say, my letterbox, one of the metal ones in the lobby of our block of flats, was smashed open a few weeks ago.
No.
Thinking it was simply a random act of violence, I reported it to the building manager and went on a holiday. Coincidentally, pre-arranged trip, not the one to recover from this ordeal. But when I returned, I found out that someone had opened a premium bank account in my name.
Ooh.
There were three letters from a bank I've never used congratulating me on my new premium account with 5k overdraft.
Nice to know you qualify there, right?
That's not easy.
Okay. Are the crimes connected? Did the mailbox smasher mean to come back for the letters, which anyone could have lifted as the door still can't close? Maybe they did come back and take the debit card, which the bank said they sent, but which was nowhere to be seen. Is one of my neighbours the culprit?
This feels like the long game. In terms of opening an account in someone's name, I feel like you need that card, you need the stuff, and actually it doesn't take that long to open an account, probably.
Why did they post it to that person's actual address?
That is my question. Yeah.
Well, they'd have to change their address to the bank.
Well, that's their ID.
Bank,
yeah, once you're in, then you can start changing stuff, I guess.
Oh, and they just counted on, not enough time, and then I'll change
the
address.
Yeah, well, then they can bring the letter and go, I want to change my address. I don't know.
Right, because you steal the identity.
Yeah, I mean, assuming there's steps like that, I'm not quite sure.
Overdrafts are very exciting. I'm just saying.
Well, I feel like that's the worst. Like, these days, I feel like, burglary doesn't happen quite as much because, you steal a TV. TVs aren't worth that much secondhand or whatever. Even phones you can sell them for £100. But if you can steal someone's identity, that's a lot. So I maximum respect to this guy. No, I'm joking. But I feel like it's definitely someone it's the person that's stolen your post has definitely stolen your identity. It's got to be.
It does feel like a long con rather than a smash and grab.
Yeah.
It's definitely got that vibe if they've gone on to do that.
I want to know if she's Instagrammed, I'm going on holiday next week, can't wait, 2 weeks in Turkey, hashtag
Ooh.
Me time.
Yes.
Yes. Not to victim blame.
I mean, Emma. Is it Emma?
Alex.
Alex, are you a stupid bitch? No, I'm kidding. Alex, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That is an interesting question about, is it somebody in the building? Because...
Yeah.
The odds of someone, if you get in the building, you're not going to do the long game, are you? Like, that feels like a targeted...
You're shitting on your own doorstep if you do.
That's like, I've done research on all these boxes, and Alex, you've got great credit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah. You qualified for the 5K.
Making it look like a hackneyed little smash job.
I hear you.
Oh, we're waiting.
All right.
Well,
cool.
Well, due to my extensive knowledge of mail scams, I mean, they could be in the building, but they could be anywhere. But also, it feels like, do they need the post in order to... It's online banking now?
They do, so they need ID or addresses, but yeah, you're right.
What do you call it? Identity scams
work.
How far do you step into the character of the person?
Okay, so I guess if someone stole my identity, maybe they'd have cystitis. How far do you go?
The single white female thing.
Are they Daniel Day-Lewis-ing it?
I hope so. Out of a sign of respect.
Kirsten Stewart. Yeah. It's hard to know.
That's the thing, though, because ironically, to get a better credit score, you need to be taking out credit cards.
Oh, you do, and then paying them off to get to get your numbers up.
Yeah, you got to be like the gambler.
Yeah.
Is Alex sure that it wasn't a gift from the bank? Like a friendly, hey girl, here's 5 grand.
Well, To be fair, there were a lot of just, hey, you've been approved for this. Was it just you've been approved for this?
Soliciting. Just like to... lots of things happened all at once that seemed.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd be a coincidence.
When did Alex, in fact, bump into their own mailbox and smash it?
I remember when I was 18 and I took out like a debit card, and then I had a credit card, and I was bombarded with things of you could have more, you could have more, you could have more.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. It's like at 18 when I had, you know, a job that maybe gave me $3,000 a year, I was being told I could, you know, borrow $20,000. And I'm just like, but I can't. I think if you have a problem in terms of spending, it's really, really dangerous. So it's probably bloody... She's not been robbed at all. It's just a fucking bank.
It's just an ad trying to like get you to pay loads of interest for the next 20 odd years.
I did watch this documentary about when they first started credit cards.
Oh yeah. Go on.
And that's what they did. Because people were really dubious about being owing people and paying with
they
credit.
Used to care loads about debt.
Yeah. Do you
remember that? Yeah.
I don't remember that. Does anyone remember that?
No, everyone's
in debt.
That was in
the before times.
Yeah.
So maybe this person's watched that documentary and been like, hey, we could try this with our cards. I don't know. I'd hate to think that Alex is living in a building with a terrible person.
Yeah, yeah. But statistically, she will be, or he will be.
Yeah, this is the thing. Just basically, go around to your neighbours, Alex, and go, did you do this? Don't do that. Just hope for the best.
Cause a real stink with everyone.
I say, rack up that overdraft, baby. Have a good time. That's my advice.
Okay. Oh, and then be like, it was fraud.
Yeah, not mine.
All right, Alex, I hope that's helped.
I hope you're okay.
And we have just enough time to hear from Detective Cool Katie Pritchard, Detective Bugsy. What are you up to?
Great question. In February 2023, on the 23rd and 24th of February,
nice.
I'm going to be doing my show Disco Ball at Vault Festival.
Ooh. Nice.
If you fancy that, it's very silly. Musical comedy show.
Yay!
And then on the 25th, I'm going to be at Leicester doing my next show, The Estate Agent, which is a spooky horror comedy musical fiasco.
Oh!
This sounds amazing.
Which I've definitely written at this time of telling you about it.
That sounds awesome.
We are recording in February 2023. We're very worried about this show.
This is live.
And the show starts now.
We're recording.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've been to Vault Fest before and it's awesome. Mm.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Vault's really cool. Oh, I'm doing another one.
Go on.
I'm working with Ben Vanderveld on his show called
Fable
Maker. Yeah, and he's doing some dates at Vault as well, 21st and 22nd of February.
I'm glad it's not just me.
Feb. And that show, oh my goodness, he makes up a story with the audience and then I'm doing musical shenanigans.
Nice.
I'm sure there's a more technical term for it, but I just kind of do stuff with music. There's an artist there who may or may not be Olaf Falafel.
Nice. We like this guy.
Oh.
He's good.
Love Olaf. So the one we've done so far has had Olaf in it, so I am presuming this one will also have Olaf in it.
I love plugging things in the future. May or may not be.
TBD.
I think that is happening this week.
Thank you so much for joining us, Katie Pritchard.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.